Hello there, friends, fellow listeners, followers of the show. We are back with another episode of The Cave of Solitude, episode 6. And we have our very special guest back in the cave this week. Another episode of Double MIS, our second installment. I'm Eric Anthony, and I'm joined by...
Daphne J.
You sound like Harley Quinn when you do that. So, Daphne J., I know how all of your days have been, but you haven't been on the Cave of Solitude for about 2 weeks now, so tell the people what you've been up to.
I've been reading.
Yeah.
Listening to music.
Okay.
And Instagramming.
Instagramming?
Yeah.
Okay, what have you been reading?
You want to get into that now?
Well, you've been reading a bunch of stuff, so...
Okay, well, I did get into Gotham Central.
Okay.
What'd you think? It was good. It wasn't what I expected.
Okay. Maybe we'll save that one for another episode. So we'll don't give too many details.
But I did enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. It wasn't what you expected because there wasn't as much Batman in it, right?
No, and that was one of the things that was deterring me from giving it a try. But I knew that he would make some appearances, and when he did, it was so exciting.
The way it's placed in that book, it's really good.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm glad I gave something else a shot.
Good.
Yeah.
It's broadening your horizons, different ways of, different types of art and storytelling that isn't just so superhero-centric necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, you read the second volume of the Aquaman, right?
Yeah, that was
before Gotham Central.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah, I am reading a lot. Look at me go.
Look at you go.
Unbelievable.
I can't believe you read two non-Batman books in a row.
I never backed down from a challenge. You told me, you asked me last
right.
time.
Right, so the challenge is the next book you read is a Marvel book.
Nope.
Huh?
Nope.
Yeah, you can't do it. You can do it.
No,
it's not hard.
What if
Batman shows up in it?
What, you trying to say when Green Arrow and... Didn't you say that... Is there one with Green Arrow, Green Lantern, and Batman shows up? Didn't you tell me that?
That's not Marvel. That's DC, Green Arrow.
Yeah.
What if it's Spider-Man and Batman?
Meh.
Ugh, you just... Don't be lame. All this stuff is good.
I don't know. I have to... I'm taking it slow. Give me some credit.
Okay, all right. But what was interesting... From our first experiment with the Double MIS episode where we showcased Hush as the book that you chose,
mm-hmm.
we got a lot of listeners for that one. I think we broke records for this young show.
What?
Daphne J actually was requested on Instagram by one of our followers.
How cool DC Comics_news is. I have a fan. I feel so special. I swear if I was a celebrity, I would take it all in. I would not put I wear sunglasses all the time, but I would just take it all in, the flashing lights, everything.
You know,
I would whip my hair back and forth. I would just
soak it all in.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd be like Kim Kardashian taking selfies of herself on a
No,
boat.
I'm not crazy. No, I don't do the selfies. However.
But you know DC, you know who that is, right?
DC Comics_news?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is that?
He's an Instagrammer who has 1,311 followers. And he's a DC Comics news person.
That's my second account.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I'm just kidding.
Eric.
Shout out to DC Comics _news. He's been a big supporter of my Instagram page from the very beginning before I had any podcast going on. He's always been boosting up my page, telling people to follow me. I enough respect to DC Comics _news. And follow him. If you're listening, follow him. He's got a really cool page as
well. Yeah, he posts some really interesting stuff. I like it.
Yeah, he gives a lot of love to people,
mm-hmm.
which is good. I don't do that enough, but he does. He does enough for everybody. So thank you for that.
Thank
DC
you for
comic.
Listening and giving us feedback and being a supporter right from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's very much appreciated.
So because of that, once Daphne J saw that post, she got all excited and was like, when are we going to do another one? I'm requested. People want me to be on the show. But now I'm
like, okay, like, I think I set the bar so...
Oh, you set it high.
You know?
And yeah, me and Jay Siegel, the regular hosts who are racking our brains and doing research and all this stuff to try to make the show interesting and trying to improve, we're getting outshined because Daphne J is on the show.
I just want to make sure I'm doing a good job. That's all.
You're doing a good job. And we appreciate you being on. It gives the show a little bit more depth and good perspective from a different point of view, I guess. Which is good. Which is what we want, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we picked... I picked a book for you this time. And you gave it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell them what it is this time?
You made me read, or suggested that I read, the Superman...
You made you read it.
Wonder Woman... Power Couple.
Yeah.
New 52.
Yeah. What did you think?
You enticed me into reading this because you said Batman would make an appearance.
And he does.
And he does.
And it's a good one.
That was that because I think you were suggesting that I give it a shot and I was kind of hesitant about it.
Uh-huh.
Not that I don't... See, this is the thing. I love Batman. I think we've all established that. Yeah. And I like... Superman. I like the relationship. I love the Justice League. I think they're cool.
Okay.
But I don't... the only character that I am always reading or looking into or have an appreciation for most is Batman. So as much as I like these characters, I don't really ever give their stories a chance, which is a shame.
Because you just feel that you're going to lose interest because he's not there. Like, he intrigues you so much that if he's not involved in the story, you don't think these characters will get you through it. It won't be interesting enough to get you through it, even though it totally would. And this was proof because Batman wasn't in it very much.
Yeah, but you know, that's the thing, though. When he makes an appearance,
he just... that's why they put him in.
He takes it away.
Of course.
It's like me, like, when I make an appearance.
Oh, brother, here we go.
So, all right. The ego has gone down. It's fine.
So before we get into the story and all the details about it, there's something that I was telling you about that we said we're going to save for the show. So something interesting about the writer of this book. Do you know who it is? By chance, did you pay attention to that detail or nah?
No.
No. Okay. Charles Sewell is the writer of this particular series. This was... the first team-up book of Superman and Wonder Woman in the New 52. It's like 2 years after the New 52 relaunched. And this guy, Charles Sewell, what's interesting about him is he's a hot comic book writer right now. He's writing like 8 books for both Marvel and DC. But he's his main job, I don't know if it's his main job now, but he's an attorney.
No.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
And so what is this?
This, I don't know if this is like something he does on the side or if this it has to have taken over the majority of his time, but he is a lawyer, which is like, how does this guy do it? Mm-hmm. Because that's a lot of work in itself, right? And his stuff is strong. It's good stuff. I actually, at Fan Expo, where me and Jay Siegel went this summer, we went to a writer's panel. And there was nothing listed as to who was going to show up on the writer's panel. So we were kind of sitting there maybe 10 minutes before and we're waiting, wondering who's going to come in. We didn't know it was going to be some hack.
Mm-hmm.
And then in walks Charles Sewell, the writer of the book, and Brian Azzarello, who wrote Superman for Tomorrow. That was the other one that I suggested to you that he did with Jim Lee.
Okay.
He follows the Hush. After Jim Lee drew Hush, he went on to Superman.
Okay.
And Brian Azzarello drew that. And I actually asked a question to both of them during the panel.
What did you say?
So, everybody knows that, or it's said oftentimes that Superman is like the hardest character to write for because he's so powerful and he's, you know, boring. How do you make his stories interesting? So, Superman for Tomorrow was pretty successful. It was criticized quite a bit in some circles. A lot of people don't like that story. But it's still a pretty decent Superman story if you take it for what it is. And then Charles Sewell was doing Superman Wonder Woman, which was getting pretty good acclaim at the time. So I asked them if Superman was as much of a challenge to write for after they were into their stories, did they start to hate writing for them because they found it challenging and it was just not interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And if not, what was it that helped them overcome that? And if they did end up enjoying it overall?
That's a deep question.
Yeah. I was the last one of the panel, too. So I was really proud of myself that I snuck in there and got a good question. Because I want to ask actual writers, because Superman is one of my favorite characters, and I know a lot of his stories are not always the best. They're not Batman level. Mm-hmm. I can admit that. But I liked what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian Azzarello first said that he didn't really want to write Superman because it wasn't the type of character he'd usually go for. But because Jim Lee was asking him to do it, he had to. He said, there's no way I can pass up doing a book with Jim Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote a pretty interesting story, in my opinion. We'll go over that when you read it. Jim Lee's art was really good. It was a pretty book to look at. But what he was most proud of was that all the books came out on time because Jim Lee is like notoriously late.
Right, late.
Yeah, so he wrote the story in a week once he got into it. And he said, what you have to do is give Superman a problem. Give him something he's never dealt with before. Give him an imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. And when you can give him an imperfection and show that he's not perfect and that he has emotional and personal weaknesses,
limitations,
it can make him interesting to write for. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And I thought he did a pretty good job. And then Charles Sewell said that it was a dream for him to write Superman because that, you know, one of his childhood favorite superheroes. So, of course, it was like, how can you pass this up? But what he enjoys about writing Superman Wonder Woman is that it puts Superman in a position he's never been before as well, where he's trying to impress a girl who is not easily impressed.
Mm-hmm.
So it puts him kind of in a, making him do things he's never had to do before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where Lois was always swooning over Superman.
Yeah.
Diana is more his equal.
Yeah.
So it's
she can actually take him on.
Yeah.
Like, she could take him out.
Yeah. But she's considered a goddess, right? Yeah. She comes from the Amazon and all that jazz.
Isn't she even taller than him?
Sometimes they draw her like that to show that she's, you know, an Amazon.
Yeah.
Darwin Cook did that in The New Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. And the story that he put together is pretty good. And when you have, like, Superman and Wonder Woman, like, literally power couple, right?
Yeah.
What could you really give them to challenge them? So that in itself is a challenge. Because Superman's hard enough, as it is.
Right.
You add Wonder Woman to it. So, yeah, I was... And then I got to meet him. I got to, like, go when he was doing the signings.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went up to meet him. He signed our number one, Superman Wonder Woman number one. We have a signed copy of it.
We do. All right.
Yeah, so it was a pretty great day at the Fan Expo. So, yeah, that's my little spiel about Superman Wonder Woman.
I like it.
Yeah. And I've also met the artist for the book, Tony S. Daniel.
No.
I met him. I went by myself 1 year, like a real geek. And he was one of the artists I got to meet and got a signature from. Nice guy.
Awesome.
Yeah. So now let's get into the meat of the book. The meat and potatoes of the book. What did you think? What did you think of the art, first of all?
I like the art.
How do you like the...
I liked Superman's... I liked his costume.
You like it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about... Because this is the... Jim Lee designed all the new 52 character designs.
Yeah.
And, like, that they're all modeled after his original ones from, I think, Justice League.
Okay.
So you like that he's got the new costume?
Yeah, I like it.
You like the collar? You like the collar that goes up his neck?
I like the collar, and I like the sleeve. Like, it kind of goes to his knuckle almost.
Yes, yes.
I don't know. It was kind of...
Do you like the no underwears on top and the red belt instead of a yellow belt? I kind of miss the yellow belt. That I miss.
The yellow belt is pretty signature, but I see what he was trying to do, like trying to keep it clean, trying to keep it crisp.
Yeah.
So there's more like a consistency with the costume that way. But I thought it was pretty cool.
And it's not actually, it's no longer a suit that like he came in his ship from Krypton or that his mom sewed for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually Kryptonian, like an armor, but it's like a technology that he can activate it and then it covers his body. So he could
But that's
be,
not explained in this book.
It's not explained in this book. No, it's explained in one of the first series of Superman New 52 where he finds the suit. Kind of like what happened in Man of Steel, where he finds the suit on like a Kryptonian ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts it on.
And it just so happens to fit him perfectly.
Yeah. But in this one, it's something like he activates it.
Yeah.
And then it like goes on his body. So he could be wearing regular clothes mm-hmm. as Clark Kent. His clothes can get blown off. And you don't see the Superman
suit. So it's
suit.
Like an external...
Yeah. It's kind of like he activates a button or something, mm-hmm. and then the suit spreads on him.
Okay.
That's the best way I can describe it. But people are kind of bothered by the fact that it's armor. Like, Superman doesn't need armor. Why is he wearing armor? It's stupid.
Is that what it is?
It's supposed to be a Kryptonian battle armor type of thing. So that's the only part of it that I'm not really crazy about. I don't mind the design. I don't mind the collar. It's kind of regal.
Yeah.
Which is okay. You definitely recognize it's Superman. It's not so different that you're like, who's that?
Mm-hmm.
It's an update.
Yeah.
Which I think is okay. How about Wonder Woman? Her character design. It's a little bit darker. It's not as bright.
It's not as bright.
Blue. What do you think of her?
Yeah, it's all right.
Same thing, right? You definitely recognize that it's Wonder Woman. There's not as many stars,
mm-hmm.
but it also denotes more of that regal kind of royalty. Like they both have this. Everyone kind of describes them in the DC universe as being godly,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and that's the one thing maybe that I'm not as crazy about.
Yeah,
I know Wonder Woman has always been like that, which is fine, but I kind of like when Superman isn't always described in that context.
Mm-hmm.
Myself personally, but. That's what they're going with in the New 52. What do you think of them as a couple? That was a big change from Superman's history. He was always with Lois, right? Married to Lois. Everyone in the world knew that
mm-hmm.
Superman and Lois Lane belonged together. So what do you think of him now being with Wonder Woman?
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
Everything. It just... why not? You know, she's powerful, he's powerful. You know, she has a... It just works, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I... Physically, but I don't think that emotionally I like him with a human.
You like him or you don't?
I like him.
Okay.
With a human because I don't know. Like, maybe I feel like it kind of humanizes him a little bit because that's what he desires to fit in with the human race because
mm-hmm.
he wants to protect... And this is not to say that... He's not protecting the human race and doesn't want to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel if he's with a human, then he's going to be more attentive to how this human acts or has more consideration to their limitations as
brings him down to earth too.
Yeah,
right?
That's like, what I think.
Because I think Superman mentally, depending on who's written him. By the way he's raised, he sees himself as one of us.
Mm-hmm.
More than sometimes I see Batman being humanized. Batman's become this like machine in a way. Like he's so on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's isolated in a lot of ways. Whereas Superman was raised on a farm. He's very in touch with, you know, the agriculture of Earth. He had parents who loved him and raised him with certain morals to make him feel that he has a place to... call home and people to talk to when he has a problem, and he has these abilities that he feels that I have to do something good with these gifts that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his parents, in my opinion, who make him the man, the Superman, that make him realize I should be doing this to help people.
Whereas, yeah, but that can easily go out the window once you become your own person, right?
Right, so, but what you're raised with. And when Superman has a family, like a Lois Lane and a mom, Pa Kent, to bring him back to Earth, it I think it adds a certain element of storytelling that is missing
mm-hmm.
in the New 52. But having said that, I ended up being a big fan of Superman and Wonder Woman as a couple. I find it's different. It's new. If you're going to redo the DC universe, are you just going to watch him and Lois date again? Like, let's get something different. Let's tell new stories. So I like that they're together, and I like that it puts them in different dilemmas, makes him, like Charles Sewell said, try to impress another girl. And they're both people trying to fit in. They feel out of place in the world that they're helping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they come together, because they're both, in a way, alienated from how normal people function and how normal people view them. So now they come together and understand each other that way.
Right.
Which I think is interesting. So in this book, it picks up where Superman and Wonder Woman are meeting up for a date in London to exchange gifts, because that's where Wonder Woman lives. She lives in London. But their date's interrupted by some unnatural storm coming from Northern Atlantic Ocean. Superman goes, checks out the storm, and Wonder Woman follows him because she can't, you know, you're not going to just let me stay here. I got to come with you. I'm Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she rescues a plane that's caught in the storm's path. And then once this plane is going into the pathway of a Norwegian Navy vessel. And when she enters this Navy vessel, she encounters Doomsday. She gets attacked by him. Do you know much about Doomsday? Or were you not sure who this character was when you came across it?
I know he's an enemy of Superman. I know that he comes from, like, another world. Or portals. Like, he just pops out of nowhere.
Okay.
And that those stuff are bony things. Yeah. And he's just this bone mindless extrusions. Monster.
Right. Do you know the significance of him in Superman, like out of Superman's enemies? What makes him, like when he fights Wonder Woman, why this is such a big deal? Maybe never told you about Doomsday. He's the character who killed Superman.
Oh, of course I know that. Oh. I know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Of course I know that.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, absolutely I know that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you watched the DC movies and all that. You've read the book too, I think.
Yeah,
so that's the significance of Doomsday. He can't be stopped. Like, he could take out Superman, literally. Yeah. So now Wonder Woman facing off against him, he breaks her arm.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he vanishes. It's a big part of the Superman-Wonder Woman storyline. He comes back. It's a huge Superman storyline that happens with Doomsday. But he shows up in this one, makes an appearance, and he disappears. So once she's healed from her injuries, she takes Superman to Mount Etna. And she asks her brother. In this version of Wonder Woman,
she has like all her siblings in here.
Yes. Because prior to this, she was molded out of clay from Hippolyta, who's her mother, on the Amazon queen, Themyscira. And this one, she's actually the daughter of Zeus.
Yeah. That's so then different. When I was reading this, I felt I was, like I said, I don't know much, but I feel like sometimes I know the basics, a little bit of the history.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. I thought this is not what was,
that's
what
not
I
the
knew.
Yeah. So that's... So her mother actually was one of Zeus's women or wives. I'm not exactly sure, but she's actually his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So she's has brothers like Hephaestus and Apollo and Ares. They're all her actual siblings in some way in this version of the New 52. So she takes Superman to see Hephaestus on Mount Etna, and she looks for weapons to fight against this Doomsday character. And while they're there, the couple, Superman and Wonder Woman, are visited by Apollo and his girlfriend, who he throws into orbit after Wonder Woman's insulted by her brother. So Superman does that typical boyfriend thing and knocks Apollo into the air. That was an awesome scene. I loved it. And Apollo, do you remember what he does to try to take out Superman, what he hits him with?
What he hit Superman with?
Yeah, he tries to use a certain attack on Superman. I think it's right there. He sees when Superman punches him out.
Oh, he uses the sun or something.
Yeah.
Like, idiot.
Yeah, Superman literally says, "You hit me with sunlight? You don't know very much about me, do you?
Yeah,
and then he just goes crazy on him. So, Superman and Wonder Woman, they're a couple, but no one really knows about it except for Batman. The public doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't... Hey, to clarify, I think it was just only Batman, right? Because then there was a part in the book where even some members of the Justice League were like, "He knew I had the hots for her. How could he do this to me?" kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think it was only Batman.
It's pretty quiet. Yeah, because Batman in this is his best friend. In the New 52, that's been kept the same. They're still best friends. And then Cat Grant, who's Clark Kent's partner in their blog site.
Mm-hmm.
That's another bit of a change. He's not working for the Daily Planet. He's got his own little blog with Cat Grant.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to, on the come up, right? Mm-hmm, they don't really have a huge, they're not successful yet, but they're on the rise. And somehow she gets this information that Superman and Wonder Woman are a couple. There's proof.
Mm-hmm.
And she blows up the internet with it. What did you think of that reveal that they're a couple? If you put yourself in a world where two characters like this were together, would you be like, "Oh, yeah, that makes sense," or would you be terrified? Because that's what they kind of explore when it's revealed, right?
I don't know. I think it'd be cool.
You think it'd be cool?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be terrified that these two people with these powers of godlike proportions could have
been taking advantage of the human race from time.
Okay.
They didn't have to be boyfriend and girlfriend to do that.
Okay. So in your comic book,
it's neither here nor there. Like, they would have, it just works.
So from a comic book fan perspective, if that was real life, you'd be like, "Oh, that's wicked."
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's fine. Take a second and just, I want to get your input on what you think of, we've kind of discussed them as a couple, how you'd react, but how would you feel, or how do you feel about their interaction with each other? Like the dynamic of their relationship, the fact that he's trying to be so private and she wants to kind of go to the next stage and not have to hide this about them. Even when she talks to, I think it's her sister.
Mm-hmm. She's like a Themyscira healer.
Yeah. And they're kind of going over the dynamic of their relationship and stuff. What do you think of it from a girl's perspective? I hate to put you in that position because you're not really like the, you know,
mm-hmm.
chick flick type of girl. But from your perspective, what do you find about the relationship interesting or the way they interact?
Well, it's interesting that they are two very powerful people who mm-hmm. seem to work in every which way,
mm-hmm.
but they still have the emotions of everybody else.
Yeah.
There's still that conflict or confusion or that, what is he thinking? What is she thinking?
Right.
There's still that kind of unknown game that's happening.
Right.
And it irritates her.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it would irritate any person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a female, because either he's in it for the long run or he's not.
Right.
But it irritates her because, you know, she's a princess.
Yeah.
She actually said, she's like, thought it was fun or interesting how she says, you know, "I'm not used to this doubt."
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, and then she goes, "I hate it." She's like, "I am Diana of Themyscira, a princess, daughter of Zeus, with all the power." Mm-hmm. And then she says, "Why should I wonder about any man?"
Right.
So she's clearly, because of the position that she has, and you think all the power in the world that she has, she can fly, she's beautiful, confident, she can kick anybody's butt, but she's upset with the fact that she's so insecure about what's happening with this other individual.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I think they played that very well, or wrote that very well,
mm-hmm.
To describe what she's going through with him.
Yeah. How about the way Superman reacts, or Clark reacts to the way he deals with their relationship and all of that stuff? In relation to Diana, like, she's very much like, "I shouldn't..."
Well, what do you think from the guy's perspective?
Okay. Putting me in a hot seat. I get it, why he's trying to be all hush-hush about it, but I also feel I understand why that would bother the girl. Mm-hmm. That he's, you know, this powerful guy, shouldn't fear anything in the world. Meanwhile, he's trying to keep it all a secret.
I liked what he was doing, though. Sorry, I know you're talking about you. I liked that he was trying to...
protect
them? I didn't see it from the girl's standpoint of like, oh, he doesn't want to be open about our relationship. Yeah. I appreciated him saying, this is the one thing that's ours.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They literally put their lives on the line for everybody else.
Right.
And this is the one thing where they just wanted to have that was theirs.
Private.
So I appreciate, I actually thought that was...
made sense.
That made sense. I liked it.
Both of their perspectives, I thought, made sense.
Yeah.
That's what made it interesting to read on, to see, okay, now they're exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Now how are they going to deal with this?
Mm-hmm.
Because it made it harder. She thought, like, what's
was
the big
like
deal?
Was that like their first official fight, I guess?
I think maybe
when it came
it was.
Out and they were kind of like...
I think so, yeah. I think it was. So, what I did like was when... you had brought it up as well. Her gift to Clark.
Mm-hmm.
What did you... Go into detail a bit about it. Tell us what you liked about that. And what it kind of says about Wonder Woman. Or about Superman.
Her gift to Clark about when she tried to give him time.
Yeah.
Extra time.
Yeah.
A time where he doesn't have to think about anything, worry about anyone.
Yeah.
Just to enjoy the moment.
Yeah. And who was in on it?
Batman.
Yeah. He comes through again. Yeah, I like that a lot.
He's the bomb.
Yeah.
He's just...
he's your dude.
He's all up in it. Like, he just makes everything work.
Yeah.
He's so cool. But I appreciate that, too. Because time... I think time is valuable to everybody.
Absolutely.
That's the one thing you cannot buy. You know what I mean? You can't make up time. It's as much as you want to try to do that, you can't. You know?
Yeah, no, everyone's, it's priceless. It's the most valuable thing we have that we can't buy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So to set aside that time for a person that you care for is the most precious thing, really, you can give them.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Personally. Okay, cool. And General Zod is a major character in this story. We've talked about Doomsday, we've talked about Apollo, but the real villain in this story is General Zod. He shows up in the Sahara Desert, attacks them, and Superman brings him back to the Fortress of Solitude and places him in a custody.
A zoo.
Yeah, it's like a zoo-like crate. Did you like General Zod in this? Do you like him as a Superman villain? Because it's kind of like...
Hasn't he always been a Superman villain,
but... Superman's always been criticized of not having great villains. And they're either really, really powerful or really, really smart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like either a fight to the death or Brainiac comes to try to put another city in a bottle. What do you feel about Zod on Superman as a Superman villain on that level?
I think it's all right. I think it's cool. Because I think the way they were angling it is they always try to go for... I think his villains try to attack him emotionally because he used the fact that he was also Kryptonian as a, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but as a tactic to take him down, right? He's like, I'm one of the only ones, like we're brothers kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And he always, like even when Kara, his cousin, came in the Supergirl one, what was that one called? The Superman Batman one?
The book was called Supergirl, but the story was Apocalypse. The movie.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. As soon as she came, I mean, it turned out she was good and all, but, Batman is more like, we need to find out the history of this person. Why are they here? What are their intentions? Like, he doesn't get emotionally invested. Never. But Superman, as soon as he hears, oh, they were one of my people.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, it goes blind
with
that. You know what I mean? And I think with Zod, it obviously, like, that's the card he played to get him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're right. He manipulates Kal-El to open up a portal to the Phantom Zone, right? I think that's what he's trying to do. Because he's trying to bring up... I've read this twice, actually, these issues, but I haven't read it, like... recently.
I just read this just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm
Yeah, it goes...
Certain things.
Because you read so much, right?
Yeah.
And it comes... Like, there's so many little details and characters that show up. But he's convincing Kal-El to open up this portal. Tricks him into doing it. Manipulates
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to bring, I think, another world in, from this portal
mm-hmm.
onto Earth. And he brings Feyora first, who is the female lead villain in Man of Steel.
Right.
Previously, it was always General Zod and Ursa.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Superman 2 movie, and then later on in the comics, it was General Zod and Ursa. Now it's Feyora again, and this.
So has this Feyora person always been in this, like,
DC?
Has she always existed?
I don't know. I think she's existed in New 52. I don't know about her in prior to the reboot.
Mm-hmm.
I knew of Ursa,
okay.
Zod and Ursa. They were a couple.
So did they? When did Man of Steel come out?
Man of Steel came out after.
So did they base it on...
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I think so. And if you even look at the Man of Steel costume, it's more like the New 52 costume.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So I think they're pulling from that a bit more. And I think it makes for a great story to have Superman and Wonder Woman fighting two characters of their caliber
yeah.
and
yeah.
power.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that Wonder Woman even mentions to Superman, like, you are... A champion on Earth because of your powers, but you really can't fight. You're not a trained
mm-hmm.
warrior,
mm-hmm.
right? You're a hero.
Yeah.
You're not trained. But these guys, General Zod and Feyora...
They were like army people.
...are trained to the max, right? So it really puts up a good battle between Superman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And it's almost to the death, right? Do you remember what Superman and Wonder Woman have to do to try to stop General Zod and Ursa?
They went... Didn't they go to her other brother to get a machine or a weapon? No, that was supposed to be for Doomsday.
And they used that.
And then they used
yes.
it against Zod.
Yes, that's
yeah.
right. Zod and Feyora throw Superman and Wonder Woman at the end of this story in a, what's it called? A nuclear reactor.
Mm-hmm.
As they finish constructing the portal that brings in its war world. They're trying to bring armies from war world... onto Earth and take over Earth. So they trap Superman and Wonder Woman in a nuclear reactor, beaten to a pulp, right? And do you remember what they have to do to get out of it?
They blow up an atom.
Yeah, they set off. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That scene. And remember the look, like the way Superman looked at the end of that?
Oh, freaked me right out.
Yeah, it was, that was crazy. But it was... like the climax of that, to know that that's what they went to those lengths to try to stop them was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah.
Now your Batman appearances in this. Let's talk a little bit about that. What did you think when he showed up?
Fantastic. It was necessary to the story.
What was fantastic about it?
I just find that the way they write him, the little... appearances he makes, it's just he says so little yet
mm-hmm.
so much
mm-hmm.
at the same time, so like everything stops when I read what he has to say.
Yeah.
And for someone who is so dark and so isolated
mm-hmm.
he's such an advocate for people to be happy, to have companionship, you know what I mean? He was encouraging Clark to, like, he's like, what's wrong with you? She loves you. She wants to be with you. Like, take advantage of being together. And that's so odd for Batman, who is, like, in a cave by himself, wants to, like, beat people. You know? Dark, twisted.
Yeah.
And but for his friend, he gears him in a place to just make sure that he doesn't experience what he experiences
yeah.
himself.
Yeah.
That loneliness.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty tough.
I love that scene where he says, like, Clark, you've flown around the world. I don't know how many times he said, but you've already, like, spun around 3,000 times
mm-hmm.
or something like that. What's wrong?
What's wrong? Yeah.
I know something's bothering you. He's like, nothing's bothering me. He's like, yeah, okay, talk to me.
Yeah.
And I like their friendship in the New 52 because Batman's a little older.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of is a bit of a guide for Superman in some ways, which is, it's a change from before. They were always on like an equal playing field, But I kind of like that Batman's a bit more seasoned, a bit more experienced. And then later on, he shows up again when it becomes public news that Superman and Wonder Woman are a couple. It gets blown up.
He's cheesed.
Yeah, he's upset about it.
He's cheesed. I don't... Yeah.
What did... do you remember...
He blew up the... Because it was all over the media, right?
Yeah.
It was like on a big teleprompter.
Yeah.
And like he batarang some kind of...
Threw it all off.
Yeah. And then we was like, "Oh, what happened?" And he's like all cheesed about their privacy having been invaded.
And he knows that it would cause problems
too,
right?
Yeah.
That this would come out like this.
Yeah.
Who do you think sent it? Who do you think was the one that sent it? I don't know if it's revealed in the book of who was the person who sent the... was it revealed?
I want to say... I can't believe I read this just days ago and I can't remember. I just know that like a USB thing was sent anonymously to Kat in via mail.
Right.
But...
Does it reveal who it was?
I want to say that it does, but I'm not sure.
I thought it did too. Anyway, until we find out. What did you think of Tony Daniel art in this book? How did you find it? In the other stuff that you've been reading, you've read like Jim Lee... You've seen Ivan Rice. Can you describe the art for the listeners in this? What you liked, what you didn't like?
Wonder Woman looked bomb.
Yeah?
Yeah. She looks so sexy. I mean, she always does, but she looked very... She looked good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Lots of wonder.
Lots of wonder?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I still favor Jim Lee's art.
Oh, yeah, of course. But this is more of a ongoing, you know, Tony Daniels is not... I don't want to say he's not Jim Lee, but Jim Lee comes out for special appearances and does, you know...
Yeah.
Tony Daniels more of a regularly working artist that's on a book for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I really enjoyed his art in this book. He's done a lot of Batman. That's where I know Tony Daniel from.
Mm-hmm.
And his Batman is good, but I actually like him drawing Superman and Wonder Woman, I think, better.
They look kind of like very, like a real, like kind of brought to life kind of art.
Okay.
To me, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
But it's... Yeah, man, it's like colors.
He doesn't color it, though.
No, but like, you know.
I like the scenes with Zod and the villains are very visceral. Like, he really captures the action of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very detailed. Not Jim Lee detailed, overly detailed, but it has very good pacing. The positioning of the panels in this scene are very good. Don't mind the whining in the background if you hear it. That's just our dog trying to get in on the show.
She's really happy. She really is. But every time the episode
she
goes
hears
on,
us
she's
talking.
Just a,
she yeah. Don't yeah. We're not torturing her. yeah, but I like even the way Batman is drawn in the book. I still prefer how Superman and Wonder Woman look myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you see them together, it's got a very romantic feel, I find. Those scenes of the two of them interacting together, he really captures that romance between the two of them,
mm-hmm.
I find. And their facial expressions, the way they look at each other.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The look
like
in
it
the
was
eyes.
Very it was very, like, realistic. Like,
yeah.
The way he drew them.
I
you
find...
could see what they were feeling.
Yeah.
You know what
very
I'm
expressive. I find Zod kind of has a... resembles a little bit of a Ra's al Ghul in the way he's drawn.
Mm.
Do you find that?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So it ends off, Superman and Wonder Woman win the day, but Doomsday is found in Mariana's Trench, which leads into the next story arc of Superman and Wonder Woman. But then they go on this really nice date at the end.
I
tell me what you thought. What are your thoughts?
Wasn't he wondering, because he expressed something.
What did he express?
He told her that he loved her.
Mm-hmm.
When they were in that... radioactive...
The nuclear reactor?
Whatever, yeah. And I don't think they ever really... She ever really followed up on that.
Yeah, they follow up on that later on.
Oh, spoiler!
Spoilers!
To me!
Sorry!
I didn't read it yet!
Sorry.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know if you'd want to read that one.
Why?
It's just long. It's Superman doomed. It's it was really interesting concept, and every, like, Batman's in it a lot, Wonder Woman's in it a lot, but it kind of goes on probably a couple of issues longer than it needed to. So the aftermath of that picks up where all the things that are set in this story, it picks up, like, the little flower he gives her, where he says it has to be oiled, not water. They pick, like, all those little things come
back.
Yeah,
I think that was a little bit of a frustration for me. If you had you not told me this. Spoiler.
Sorry. Well, it's book one. Obviously, there's going to be more issues.
Well, I... not having known what you told me.
Yeah.
It was a little bit frustrating because I felt like there was a lot of things that were still not dealt with, that were unsaid and unfinished. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, especially if the story is revolving around their this blooming relationship. I'm like, well, nothing happened. They're not going anywhere. They like each other and this is what's happening and they're saving the world together. She has this, well, I'm not doing this for no man business, you know? Anyway, I was like, I'm like, where's the juice?
Yeah.
And it felt kind of unfinished a little
bit. Felt a little anticlimactic. Yeah. Because.
But I didn't realize that there was more to go. Yeah, there's, I mean, it lots makes sense. More. It's volume one.
Yeah, there's lots more that goes on after this.
Okay.
And they're still together. And that was one of the questions I, when I met Charles Soule, in like, actually got him to sign up my books, I asked him how long they planned on keeping them together, if it was just like a stunt. Because I enjoyed his book, or the issues thus far. I don't think I had the graphic novel yet. I just had him in single issue. And he says, as long as I'm staying on the book, I have no plans on breaking them up. They're going to be together for a while. Based upon what he said. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I got it from the horse's mouth. So I feel like I got some insider information, which is kind of cool.
So who controls what they write? Like, can they just take their whatever they want, their imagination, let it go run wild? Or is there someone in the back where says, look, this is what we think the people will want?
Unfortunately, one of the issues that DC faces is their editorial. I don't think that the writers have as much of the freedom that they would like to have with the characters to tell certain stories, which is making a lot of good writers leave books. And that's, I think, something that's plagued Superman for a while. He's had a lot of different writers come on and off the book, and it's messed up the universe that they've built for him.
Is that why they started it over?
No. I think they started it over because they just wanted to refresh the entire universe.
Oh, okay.
But Superman, Batman is at his best right now with Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. Those stories are phenomenal.
He was always at his best.
But he's probably going through one of his best runs, possibly of all time, with what's being done in the last 3 years. Like, it's consistently set the bar for all of comic book, the genre of comic book writing, everything. Batman's at the top of the heap right now. Almost monthly, he's the highest selling book. If he's not number one, he's number two every month for the last 3 years, which is an impressive streak to maintain. Wonder Woman, I don't think she's selling as well, but from what I've heard, I haven't read them. Brian Azzarello, actually, the other guy on the panel, is writing the Wonder Woman book, the solo Wonder Woman book, or he was for about 3 years. And that was very high praised and given critical acclaim as well. But Superman,
it's a bit of a challenge.
It's been hit or miss. Like, some of the early stuff with Grant Morrison was interesting. This was really good. I thought this was really good, but I like it, some of it.
Yeah.
But I'm biased. But I can also say, like, some of it's not that great. I have to be honest. Even though I might like it, I couldn't
recommend
unbiasedly say, like, oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
It's good for me, but maybe it's not the best stuff out.
Right.
And I think a lot of it has to do with DC editorial making certain decisions that aren't necessarily the best. Because they have a good writer and they just don't let them run with it.
That's a shame.
It is. But this, so far, has been good. Action Comics with Greg Pak has also been consistently good. And Charles Soule and Greg Pak were the writers on the next major Superman story arc. It was called Superman Doomed, where Doomsday returns.
Yeah.
It was just a little bit too long.
Okay.
It was kind of like, oh boy, I don't know where I am anymore in the story. Kind of made it hard to follow monthly. But Superman Wonder Woman, I think, is a hit. I like it. Would you read the next volume? Would you want to know what happens next? Or are you good?
No, I'm the type of person that I need to finish it. I need to know what's happening.
You're falling in the rabbit hole, my friend. No. Yes, you are. Because if you are... The thing with comic book people, comic book geeks, they have this thing about them that they're completists, right? If they have 11 issues of something and there's, you know, 20 to get, they have to get the 20.
Yeah, but I think it's a personality thing.
It is a personality thing. Because
I've read some crap books and I know it's terrible, but I can't just give it up. I have to like, I just have to finish it. I gotta know what's happening.
That's exactly the same point I'm making, is that a comic book fan might know that, oh, this sucks, but you know what? It's a 12-issue miniseries. I can't not have the last issue just because I didn't like issue 11.
Yeah.
I have to complete it. It's this weird thing about, and you're falling into it. Because it's like, I gotta know what happens next. Before you know it, you've read like 5 volumes of something. You're like, man, that was stupid. Why have I read this? But as long as you're enjoying it along the way, that's what matters.
Right? No, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that's what matters.
I read it between patients.
Really?
Yeah. When, so I'm in the dental field, folks. And, so while I wait for the procedures to take place and we're waiting for the anesthesia to kick in and all of that, the patient's just laying there and I'm like, all right, I'll flip a book right back here because there's nothing else to do.
So people right now probably think you're a doctor.
That
is putting people under. And while they're under, you're reading comic books. That's what you just described to people.
I did not. I said...
It's okay. Let them think that. It won't matter because it's not true. Just let them think it. It's okay.
You just bait out the scene, bro.
I didn't bait out the scene. You're the one who tells people your job.
I know. I said I was in the dental field. I didn't say if I was a doctor. I didn't say anything. I'm a dental assistant, by the way.
If you ever go to a dental office and you're introduced to Dr. Daphne J, run away.
Hey!
No, I'm just kidding. Go there. Make us lots of money. Make us buy more comic books.
But yeah, no, I find that, and I think this is the case with anyone, right? Once you start something and it's juice, it's a story, you want to know what's going on, who's involved. So I was trying to get as much as I could in, even nice. When I'm working.
I like it.
Yeah, it was entertaining. I liked it. It was cool.
I like seeing you come home from work with your head inside of a comic book. And I've seen that you're almost finished it. That's awesome.
That's my problem, I think, because I know you... I don't read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do read, I get so...
But you've been enjoying it so far, right? Our experiment... I know you've read comic books in the past, but our experiment thus far... you're
experiment. It's like I'm in a test tube.
You're like a guinea pig in a cage. You're reading new things... trying new characters, and you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, it's opening your horizons to different stuff, which is cool, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just being stuck in Gotham where it's dark and rainy all the time, and Batman's always by himself at the end of a book after suffering some sort of sad loss in his family. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need, you know, Superman, Wonder Woman romance.
A blue sky.
That's it. Some superheroes that fly. Real superheroes. No, I'm just kidding. Batman's the best.
Watch yourself.
I know Batman's the best. I'm just kidding. Well, this was fun. Any final comments that you'd like to put out there?
I don't think
so. Nothing?
Oh, I have a pick of the week.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You want to have a pick of the week?
You never asked me last time.
We don't do pick of the weeks on this show. This is like special edition, but you can give us a pick of the week. Give us your pick of the week, Daphne J.
Okay. My pick of the week is a popsicle. Okay. I don't know where you can find this outside of Toronto. I'm sure you can.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So, it's a popsicle.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
right now?
I'm totally serious.
Your pick of the week is food. And ice cream at that. She's literally going to get the popsicle. Okay. I thought it was going to be actually something like you can recommend to people.
Yeah, okay. So, it's for girls, it's trans fat free. I don't know what that means, but apparently it's on the box. Okay. It's
Oh boy.
Bing Gray.
Okay.
That's the name brand.
What's the product name?
Melona.
Melona.
Actually, I think it should be pronounced Melona.
Oh, boy.
And it's spelled M like Michael, they E know. Like Eric, L like Larry, O like Octagon, N like never before have you tasted something so great, A like amazing. They come in different flavors. There's mango. There's melon. Melon is bomb. That's the best one. That's my favorite. They have banana. I'm not a fan of the banana. And they have strawberry.
Strawberry sucks.
It's like a... Anyway, yeah. It's flavored ice bars. You get eight in a pack.
Oh, boy. What are you going to... We got a game show where they gotta guess the price too? Like, honestly, it's...
So it's kind of like milky and fruity at the same time. It's fantastic. I'm gonna have one right now.
She's gonna... Okay, so with that said, we're gonna end the show. Daphne J having a Melona. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Cave of Solitude. You can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Follow us on our website, caveofsolitude.com. And... you can follow us on iTunes. Leave a review on iTunes. That would be amazing if you did that. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you soon.
See ya!